6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, and it's Tuesday, July 26, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. 10% off of all Strauss Naturals products at the Power Mall this week. And, of course, you know, we have a wide variety of guests on our show, including Ken McCarthy of BrassCheckTV.com. And, by the way, if you haven't subscribed to our email blast, you need to, because you will be able to check out all the stuff that's on here. Ken McCarthy has a new book out called The COVID Con, which just went live on Amazon. And, you know, he's been involved with the video that's been out for 2 years, a film, AIDS, Fauci's First Fraud. We call him Flip-Flop Fauci, and, you know, that's what I called him when we had Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on the show with Children's Health Defense. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. There's a video out now called The Old Normal, a historical perspective of the COVID-19 with Ken McCarthy. Of course, you get to see Ken on the video, which is a good thing. The links are there. Ken McCarthy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me.
And so now you were one of the original pioneers of the movement to commercialize the Internet.
That's actually true. I was living in San Francisco, and a friend this was in the early 90s, and a friend introduced me to it. I had been doing a lot of direct mail at the time, which is very expensive. And I said, you mean I could send mail to people for free? And I was all over it, and I actually sponsored the very first conference ever held on the commercial potential of the World Wide Web.
Yeah, you and what do you have to say to Al Gore, who claims he invented it? The guy's a schmuck. I mean, come on.
Really? He's a professional professional person, let's put it that way.
Professional schmuck. All right, there you go. You sponsored the first conference on the subject of the web's commercial potential in 94.
Yep.
With the then 23-year-old co-founder of Netscape. Boy, I remember that platform way back when, Mark Andreessen. I mean, literally, your reach and acquaintance with the Internet is pretty far-reaching and fairly up there, I mean, in years.
Yeah, and my dream really was for it to be a platform for people to publish their own ideas on without having to go through the media, and it worked.
Well, it does until you get censored, which has now become a real problem. You got a solution for that?
Well, number one, make sure you have your own website. Please, folks, do not depend on Facebook for your internet presence. It breaks my heart every time I see a good grassroots group doing that. Number two, you got to collect your email addresses. You know, they can take away your social media followers in an eye blink. They can't take away your email addresses easily. They try, but it's harder for them to do. So those are my two big suggestions. Don't get dependent. Don't get corralled. See, I think all that Facebook and Twitter and all that was a deliberate attempt to corral us. We were longhorns, you know. We were free and running free on the internet, and they said, let's make some corrals and fool them all into volunteering their own captivity. And that's basically the story of the internet since 2008.
And so now this situation with Elon Musk trying to buy Twitter, this whole thing has just exploded into litigation, which I'm not surprised, and the stock in Twitter has dropped. And I mean, I sometimes think that these people got what they deserved, especially with the spam bots that Musk claims are there. But I mean, this stuff was disclosed before he even made the offer. I think he was more in just looking at the perspective of trying to get free speech back into play here and to avoid, you know, to try to thwart the censorship.
Well, we'll see what happens. But, you know, there was a very – it's interesting that you bring up Twitter. There was a very interesting study that came out. One of the big polling companies – offhand, I can't remember the name of them, but one of the big ones. And they actually polled who is posting to Twitter on political matters. Who are these people? They are – would you be surprised? And I'm in of neither party, but it's 70% Democrat, 70% women. And I have nothing against women, obviously, but you'll see the profile that these people fit. 70% Democrat, 70% women, 70% college educated. And who's
liberal
got
college educated?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, I missed that one. Liberal.
Yeah.
And who do you think has 28 million? Last time I checked, Twitter followers, Hillary Clinton. I think what people don't understand is that a lot of the true hate speech and the shouting down and the censoring and just the ugliness of the internet in the political sphere does not come from conservative people. It comes from the Hillary Clinton Twitter mob.
Wow.
And it's funny to me that nobody's ever pointed that out. She's been she was an early adopter of social media.
This is the first time, Ken, I've heard that explained in detail, and now that all makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I once made the mistake of questioning on Twitter why, what is it, Mademoiselle Junior? It's like a magazine for girls.
Right.
Why they put Hillary Clinton on their cover. I wasn't trying to be mean. I just asked, well, why would you put her on that? I got 187 foaming at the mouth hate tweets from people. Never before or since have I ever been hit that hard. So she's got an army out there, and you know how they say, oh well, it's the conservatives. They're spreading hate on the internet. The Clintons are very good, and I don't mean to make this political. I'm really talking about social forces rather than politics. But they are very good at blaming what they're doing on other people. And I really do think they are one of the negative forces on social media.
Yeah, that makes sense. And the thing is now she's, of course, rearing her ugly head in the political debate, along with Michelle Obama and other people that, you know, who the potentials are for the 2024 presidential election. I'm not even looking that far into the future on this thing, because I'm more concerned with election integrity and what the current state of affairs has done to mess with our minds with this role in PSYOPs. And this is where we get into this new book, The COVID Con, that just went live on Amazon. And, of course, we don't carry it at the Power Mall. We do and are carrying the real Anthony Fauci. And, of course, now, since this is a new book, obviously we haven't had a chance to review it and look at it. And so, you know, obviously people are going to get it and review it. Can you give me kind of a synopsis as to what the book is about? I think I know where it's going, but I just want to hear from you.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that I was a pretty significant contributor to the Robert F. Kennedy book, and you can see my name mentioned several times in the last chapter and also in the acknowledgments. And my film, which we might talk about later, was cited 25 times in his book. So that's where I'm coming from on this. I first got very suspicious about this COVID thing on February 1st when they were talking about, you know, one guy in China had some disease. And I looked up the city, and I kind of recognized the name because I have friends that have traveled in China. And, you know, I don't know if people know this, but Wuhan is the most polluted city on Earth from an air pollution point of view. People were having to wear masks just to get back and forth to work way before COVID. So the idea that one guy who was in his 50s, who smoked, who was already sick, died of a respiratory disease, I couldn't understand how that was international news. There was something fishy going on. So I kept my eye on it, and I wear two hats. I'm a business person, but I also have Brass Check, which is sort of a hobby site, alternative news. And I decided, well, I'm going to break the wall. I'm actually going to talk with my business customers and business clients and people that I advise about this, because this is obviously a big problem. So I started posting to my business site. And what the book is 2 years worth of blog posts about what I call the COVID con, starting in March, calling BS on all of it, but in a very specific way. I didn't just say, well, I just don't believe it. I would actually take their so-called arguments, and demolish them. And so the book is kind of a demonstration how this was, to me at least, an obvious fraud from day one. And it was a fraud. You mentioned the word PSYOP. Absolutely a PSYOP. And maybe this would be a good time to talk about my view of medicine, which is that there's two kinds of doctors. There's doctors that educate and inspire their patients to do better. Then there's doctors that terrorize their patients in order to exploit them. This is the fundamental difference between the two kinds of doctors. And I believe probably most people that go into medicine are going in to be good. But the reality is the system that we have is designed to terrorize and exploit. And never before was that more obvious than during this COVID con. Everything was about fear. Everything was promoting just ignorance. I'm not a scientist, but I was on the track to get a degree in neuroscience, which I never completed, but I was on the track. So I made an acquaintance of science, and even I could see that they weren't following science at all. They were literally making stuff up as they went along, all in the interest of terrorizing the American people and the world. So why? Most immediately, so they could sell these vaccines.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, we follow the money. And that's what, you know, since St. Patrick's Day of 2020, when the official lockdown went, and I was in Florida at the time, and I had DHS paperwork with me at all times and media credentials and everything so I could travel all over the place on behalf of our radio station that I am on the board of directors of down there. And so it's one of those things that, you know, when you look at this situation and you see what's going on and you follow the money, and you see who's getting paid off. Fauci's getting, he's going to get a parachute salary when he leaves. And this is what I think is even more of a fraud. Adam Andrzejewski with Open the Books has literally deep dived into his financials. And there's a lot of unanswered questions about, everything that pretty much aligns with this film, Fauci's First Fraud. The thing is that we knew about Dr. Ralph Baric at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. We knew about them sending it to Wuhan through Peter Daszak and Echo Health Alliance. All of this stuff, I mean, Dave Martin, all these people I'm sure you are following. And so now when you wrote the book COVID Con, how much of this, of everybody else's input, did you formulate into the book?
I followed everything, and everybody contributed to my thinking. But it's primarily me taking, you know, the news of the day and just tearing it apart and just showing this is a lie, this is a logical fallacy, this is false, this is this, you know. And the thing that people, I think, would benefit from knowing is that this is the same playbook they ran 40 years ago with AIDS. It's the same people, Fauci. And a lot of the so-called activists from that era are now, you know, professors at Yale and esteemed people. It's the same group of people using the same mechanism for the same purpose, which is to scare the wits out of people and drive them into basically a dangerous and destructive so-called therapy. And that's what they did 40 years ago, and that's what they're doing today. So it's based on terror. It is literal terrorism. Instead of teaching people about, by the way, I heard the show before this one, and I loved hearing that guy talk. Instead of teaching people about the miraculous nature of the human body, about its incredible self-healing capacities, about the power of nature to heal and fortify us, we're told that we're weak, that we're prone to infections, that if we get one of these things, oh, we better get to a doctor and we better take whatever medicine they come up with. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with the remdesivir story.
We are.
Yeah, right. This was a drug that was cooked up to fight Ebola. It never worked. It was considered too dangerous. And then they gave it to who knows how many hundreds of thousands of people. By the way, I got a little statistic from somebody I think it was any hospital that gave a course of remdesivir to a patient earned $20,000. And the calculation was that and a hospital group that maybe had 5,000 patients could make, I've got to get my calculator out, but I believe it was up to $100 million. Just one hospital group, just by administering remdesivir, a therapy that injures people and that had no scientific basis at all. And this is exactly what they did 40 years ago. They terrified all these people, told them, hey, if you take this test and this test proves you've got the virus, you're going to die. And they convinced all kinds of people to take a drug called AZT, which previously had been banned by the FDA. It's a carcinogen. It's a mutagen. And people that are in the know believe that it was the drug that killed all those people, not the disease called AIDS.
Why am I not surprised?
Yep. And billions were made. And this people should know, too. For some reason, the NIH has a relationship with the pharmaceutical industry whereby they receive royalty payments. Individual bureaucrats get individual royalty payments. They somehow contributed to the science of the drug, which we paid for with our tax dollars. But the royalties go to NIH employees. $360 million over the last 20 years has been paid by the pharmaceutical industry to 17,000 different NIH employees. And all we know the numbers, but we don't know the names and the specific amounts each person has received. It's all been redacted as if it were a CIA secret. So the corruption
we're trying
is
trying to get to the bottom of that, too.
Yeah, the corruption is just off the hook.
No doubt. Well, we do take phone calls. We have a toll-free number, 844-769-2944. If you have questions for our guest, Ken McCarthy, Alan in Texas, you're on the phone. What's going on, sir?
Yeah, once again, Dave, a good show. I'll be short. Thank you, sir, for stating, you know, I think there's a lot of us out there who got into the biological sciences, you know, at the undergraduate level, learned the basics, you know, which I started college back in 1980, and Robert Kennedy's book just explained to me in great detail, because I paved my own way through college. I wasn't just there and gone in 4 years, you know. When I could take classes, you know, and I would go in, and my professors allowed me to do research for them, and I saw the fallacy and the corruption, you know, in just basic research, even at an undergraduate level doing research for my professors, and how I saw research data that I'd collected changed in the final grant report so the money would keep rolling in. And when I finally figured out, I was like, I'm sorry, you know, but to have morals in today's world is really a detriment, you know, to your financial, stability. And thank you for stating that. You know, I think those of us that have the basics before you go into the indoctrination of the upper levels, you know, you go to med school or you go to grad school, and then the indoctrination really starts, and they try to drive out the basics that you actually learned. And I just wanted to call up and say thank you, Dave, for another good show and another good guest. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate that, Alan. Thank you so much. And
Alan really hit the nail on the head. Very important information he shared, and he's exactly right. Common sense is not part of the game. Real science is not part of the game. Raising funds is part of the game. And people need to know this about Fauci if they weren't aware. If you are somebody doing research in biology or in infectious disease, and you want to, you need money to do that. You can't hold a bake sale to raise the money to do that kind of work. You need real money. The biggest funder is the NIH, which is Fauci's group. And what Fauci personally doesn't fund, people who are his allies fund. So you literally cannot be a research scientist in this country unless you genuflect at the altar of Tony Fauci. That is a reality in America today. So if you're not singing his song, you don't get money. And this is the other thing people may or may not be aware of. The universities make a lot of money from this NIH research money. I, the individual scientist, make my grant proposal. I get the money. My university takes some money off the top. Okay? So not only are the individual researchers controlled and compromised, all of the universities are controlled and compromised. They have to watch their P's and Q's when they talk about Anthony Fauci, or he will retaliate against them. By the way, another one of his scams that people may not be aware of, he's allowed to get awards and honorariums and speaking fees all over the world. He got a $500,000 gift from University of New York at Albany. And where do you think that money came from? It's money that he gave the university for research. So this is he is the ultimate scammer, besides not being a doctor. I mean, he's got an MD, and I think if we have any MDs listening, they'll know there's a big difference between someone that has an MD and somebody who's a real doctor. Okay, just getting the degree and going through the school is only, you know, gets you to the starting line. So he's not a doctor. He's certainly not a scientist. He's a bureaucrat, and what he really is a government criminal. That's what he excels at, and he's really good at it. You have to, you know, hats off to him. He's one of he makes Al Capone look like an amateur.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me wonder, too, about his cohort, Deborah Birx, who just came out with a tell-all book that basically said that everything we had as far as 15 days to stop the spread turned into 30, turned into 60, turned into 2 months, into 4 months. And then, of course, everybody wears a mask, everybody social distances, 6 feet apart. and people would call me and say, look, if you can smell the fart through my jeans, your mask isn't working. So, you know, I'm like, no, I get what you're saying. I do. And the thing is the mask doesn't work. Fauci flip-flopped all over the place. But Deborah Birx actually is the one with the tell-all book, came out, and I don't know if you're up on that yet, but she came out and said, we made the whole thing up.
Wow.
Everything we did, we just invented it, pulled it out of our butt, and she said, once we got the 15-day to slow the spread, I'm sitting here thinking, oh, how can we extend this? I mean, because it's all about control, and that's what the mask was all about. How many people are going to capitulate? And now, you know, they've done tests and research and studies on all of this. What works? What's going to alienate the family? What's going to cause division? I mean, they've succeeded in so many different ways, and I think Fauci was a big part of that because they had to lie to somebody, and the first person they had to lie to was Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, you're following that logic, but Birx was standing right there with Fauci, and she was the protocols biatch that came out with all of this stuff and made everybody jump through hoops and has done what she's done, and now she puts it in a book. I don't know if it was to clean her conscience or what, but the thing is that, you know, that puts her right in line with the criminal element with Fauci, and I think you think in November, if we shift the political power balance here, that they're going to bring Fauci into his real element, which is a prison cell?
Well, I hope so. But the thing we have to know about Fauci, and this is not obvious, is he is an integral piece of the U.S. bioweapons establishment that is somehow hidden in smoke. And if you go to the organizational chart of his group, the public one, you don't notice that, but if you know the correct link to see the full organizational chart, you'll realize that his group has a massive biowarfare division that he controls. And this is one of the reasons he's been given a pass all these years. So this is something that's not clear. In fact, by the way, somebody found out, I think it's the guy who's done the research on Fauci's compensation, that he actually gets an annual bonus because he's running biowarfare experiments.
Wow, you got to wonder about that. Well, we'll talk about that after the break, Ken. Ken McCarthy is with us. We're here on the Power Hour, 28 minutes into the hour. We're going to be back after this short break. Dave Krieger with you. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, You know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optavita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, Tuesday, July 26, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. 10% off Strauss Naturals this week on the Power Mall. Can't say enough good things about that because it's all about the healthy side of life, especially if you're going to be fighting a disease that we now know is suspect. It was created, man-made, did not develop in a wet seafood market. All the truths are coming out, and anybody out there that thought that there was a link somehow to the United States government, was called a conspiracy theorist, was shamed on social media, was censored, and that's still going on, even with all of what you put out. Ken McCarthy has joined us here on the Power Hour. He's with Brass Check TV, and he's got the new book out, COVID Con. The COVID Con just went live on Amazon. And now you've got a film out too, Ken, about the first fraud. What can people expect to see as far as what's, you know, give me the nuts and bolts of what's in that film.
Sure. I started putting out pieces of it in April of 2020, and then the full film came out in August of 2020. So it's almost 2 years old. And, you know, if we go back in time, this is when most people were first introduced to Tony Fauci. They'd never heard of the guy before, but suddenly the news media was telling us he was America's doctor. He was the greatest physician that ever lived. You know, he could walk on water. Everything he said was golden. And I happened to know the opposite. So I started digging through my books and my records and organizing all this material I had about the original fraud, Fauci's original fraud, Fauci's first fraud, which happened in the 1980s. And this is a very important story to understand what we're going through now. So I'm going to take a little time to explain it, not too much. There was a sort of a wild social movement of in the 70s and 80s. It involved a lot of drugs and a lot of sex, and a lot of people were involved in it, gay and straight. And on the gay side, there were some guys that were really going wild. I mean, I always say that it's a good thing there's men and women, because women are a little more sensible. They moderate things a bit. They slow things down. When it's just guys and guys, I mean, there are no limits. And these young guys knew no limits. They took drugs beyond belief. It was not unusual for someone to have 6, 10, 20 different STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, sequentially. They get another one and another one and another one. Of course, they're all treated with antibiotics. So these young guys were destroying themselves physically, and lo and behold, their immune system started collapsing. And instead of saying, hey, guys, slow it down a bit, you know, glad you're having fun, but, you know, you need to be a little sensible. Instead of that, they said, it's a virus that's doing it. That was a fraud. That was a fraud from day one, and it was a fraud that was perpetuated the same way the COVID con has been perpetuated, by silencing the scientists and the doctors and the journalists. And when I talk about silencing people, they silenced the guy that discovered the HIV virus and won the Nobel Prize for it. He said, hey, I don't think it's this HIV thing that's causing this disease. Well, that was the end of him. He was never invited to any more conferences. Then you had Kary Mullis, the Nobel Prize winner that invented the PCR test, you know, the test that they used to scare everybody out of their wits and say, ah, you got COVID. They were doing that 40 years ago, giving healthy people the PCR test and saying, you've got AIDS. You're going to die. And Kary Mullis said, this HIV equals AIDS equals death is baloney. It's a fraud. So we're not talking about, third tier scientists being against Fauci's version of events. We're talking about the very top scientists on Earth. And they were, what's the word they use now? Not silenced, not censored, canceled. So this whole canceling thing, there was probably one of the most eminent virologists that ever lived, Peter Duisberg, wrote a paper in 1987 analyzing all the scientific research on AIDS and said, this virus ain't causing nothing. Right? And Fauci went after him. It was a hammer and tongue or whatever that phrase is. I mean, attacked him, made sure that he was kept off the news media. So what we are living through today is an exact replica of what Fauci and friends did 40 years ago. Then the topic was HIV and AIDS. Today the topic is SARS and COVID. Then the target was anybody they could scare into taking AZT, which included gay men, but it also included a lot of pregnant women. A lot of pregnant women were terrorized into taking AZT because they had a positive AIDS, so-called positive AIDS test, which was no such thing. Babies were given AZT. I mean, I'm going to use the word Holocaust because hundreds of thousands of people were killed by this drug, right? So now they took that same playbook and they just changed the name. Okay, now instead of HIV, it's SARS-2. And instead of AIDS, it's COVID. And instead of AZT, we're going to give them remdesivir while we mask them, while they wait for this crazy gene therapy that we've cooked up, that we've never tested properly. And, of course, I think everybody knows that the thing is not effective, obviously. It was obvious it wasn't going to be effective from day one. But it's also not safe in any way. I hope your listeners know there's a thing called the VAERS database, Vaccine Adverse Events Recorded. And so you report if you have a vaccine and you become ill, and that goes into the CDC FDA VAERS database. There are more reported injuries from these COVID vaccines than all other vaccines combined since the VAERS database started in the 80s. So this thing's not safe. But it was done with – I want to go back to this word, terrorism. Again, a doctor can educate people about the miraculous quality of their body and show them how to take care of it and not to abuse it and inspire them to do the right thing, or a doctor can terrorize people as a way to control and exploit people. And that is the path that Fauci and his friends and the whole institution of medicine, I'm sorry to say, because most, we've had some heroic doctors, but the vast majority of doctors just kept their head down, and a whole bunch of them bought it, which is really pathetic. So I hope that explains what the film's about. So the film's Fauci's First Fraud, and I show the parallels between what they did in the 80s and what they did to us in the last 2 years. It's the same damn playbook.
Right. Well, the thing, too, Ken, is, I did an insane amount of research on what was going on with the AIDS scenario with the virus. We traced it back to Fort Detrick, Maryland. Jean-Luc Montagnier was able to identify the HIV is 4% of the COVID vaccine, supposedly. I mean, that's what everybody called it because they had to keep saying the word vaccine to brainwash everybody into believing that this was a miracle drug that was going to fix it. They knew it wasn't going to fix it. Burks divulged that they knew it was going to fix it when they did it in the first place. But the thing is that the AIDS, the suspicion back then was in Fort Detrick, Maryland, which is now closed. They created the AIDS virus by slicing the belly of a cow and a sheep. They called it the bovine vaccinovirus. Dr. Robert Strucker delved into this thing. I'm sure that name is familiar to you. And his brother Ted was murdered and made it look like a suicide. Congressman Huff from Illinois, they were all going to go public with it. All of a sudden, Huff ended up dead of a multi-drug cocktail. This is not the first public official or notary or person that we have seen where they've offed. I mean, the thing is that, they went after Judy Mikovits. I mean, all of these people, anybody that's tried to stand up and see Mikovits worked at Fort Detrick. So anybody that's tried to stand up against the hierarchy got attacked and literally ruined. And so, the one beauty of it is even with everything that you're putting out here, you still get discovery if they come after you in court.
Oh yeah, I mean, I welcome I welcome a court case because they can't stand up to discovery, And we should point out, you know, Dr. Simone, you know, one of the America's frontline doctors.
Oh, Simone Gold. Yeah. She's doing 60 days in Club Med, Club Fed.
Yeah. Which is no joke. And that's horrible that they did that to her. Absolutely horrible. And, yeah. So a lot of people who stand up do pay a price. I know a famous person. I won't mention his name. He needed an operation. And, instead of doing it in the U.S., he went to a foreign country because he felt he would be safer there to have the operation conducted, not on U.S. soil. That's how bad it is, guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now the old normal, this historical perspective of COVID-19, this is a video you put out that we're going to put a link to the website. What can people expect to see when they go there?
Well, it's called – actually, this is Fauci's first fraud. It's the history – of the AIDS scam, and how what they did 40 years ago to terrorize people into accepting deadly, what turned out to be deadly treatments, which they knew were going to be deadly because AZT had been banned for human use by the FDA. I mean, it wasn't like, well, we made a mistake, it was our best effort. No, they took a drug that they knew was deadly and they gave it to millions of people, and then they called the death of those people the death from AIDS. I mean, which is the same thing that's happened with a lot of the people that supposedly died of COVID. They died of remdesivir. They died of being put on
ventilators, yeah.
Or ventilators. I mean, let me talk about intubation for people that don't know, because I have not seen this anywhere else. When you are intubated, they stick a thing down your throat. They have to knock you out, right? They have to give you huge painkillers, including fentanyl. They have to give you drugs that prevent you from moving, paralytics. You could be on anywhere from 4 to 12 drips for weeks or months. You're not eating, right? They have to feed you by a tube. And I won't get into all the other grossness of it. And if you don't have a really good respiratory technician taking care of you, you will die on a respirator, period. It is, even under the best of circumstances, it's dangerous to put someone on a respirator. To put them on for weeks or months, you're practically killing them. And I did an extended interview with one of the nurses who went up to New York City to work in the public hospitals. She said they were putting everybody on respirators. She said there was a guy, he was in his 30s, he was having an anxiety attack. He didn't have a respiratory disease. He was just scared out of his wits and he was having trouble breathing. And they were talking, all these were public hospitals, and I've been in a New York City public hospital, and you haven't seen hell until you've been in one of them. And they were putting everybody that walked in the door on a respirator. Literally. Oh, I got the interview. I mean, it was bad. It was a killing fields. And for a while, it was like the vast majority of COVID tests were taking place in 3 hospitals in the United States, all public hospitals in New York City. I mean, this thing is as bad as you think it was, is 1,000 times worse.
Well, see, and the VAERS system only reports about 1% of the actual totals, we are being told,
yeah,
statistically. And so we're looking at, you know, roughly 3 million people that have been killed by this alleged vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, to file a VAERS report, it's an online thing. It takes at least a half hour. It's just the forms are designed so badly as to make it as confusing as possible. And if you fail to complete it in your half hour session, your session erases itself and you have to start from scratch. Plus, if you're a doctor and you fill one of these things out, now you have to follow up. You're followed up with. So you're not only are you creating work for the excessive work for the doctor, you're also creating follow up work after he's filed. So I'm sorry to say, most of our doctors are ignoring the injuries deliberately because it's too much of a hassle for them. Mm-hmm. That's their perception of it.
No doubt. And see, this is something that, you know, obviously, when we look at this whole situation at the beginning of the program before we went on, I was talking to you about a lot of these frontline doctors, Kerry Mate being the first one, David Martin being the second one, coming out and saying, you know, we've seen the patents, we've seen the garbage under the microscopes. This is an effort to depopulate the world. It's a direct attack on the United States. So, you know, what are we to make of this? I mean, given the perspectives and the frauds and everything that you've seen and heard, would it be fair to say that that's what we're looking at here?
I mean, it surely is a systematic degradation of human beings, both here and around the world. The masking, the closing of churches, the closing of schools, the closing of small businesses. I mean, they hit us in every possible area that makes us human. Education, practicing our religion, and even something as simple as a community restaurant. Well, that's, you know, that employs local people. It's where a lot of people meet and greet. It's a way to get out of the house. The cafes were closed. The bars were closed. They and none of this had a scientific basis. And so, yes, somebody had a plan in mind to systematically degrade every aspect of humanity. And they knew that it was going to result in increased suicides. The suicides were happening the very first week of the shutdowns, lockdowns, excuse me. They knew that this was going to create a wave of suicides. They knew this was going to create a wave of drug overdoses, deaths by alcoholism, deaths of despair. They knew it. They knew it, and they did it anyway, and they did it without a scientific basis. So I don't know all that what they have in mind, but clearly somebody had a very systematic plan. I'll tell you something really interesting. Choirs and choruses. There are a lot of choirs and choruses all over America, and people that are into this, they love it. They get together with their community. They sing either classical music or religious music, and it's a really important part of human existence. The very week that all this madness started in March, somebody circulated a ridiculously detailed and completely bogus scientific paper that, quote, proved that getting together and singing was the most deadly thing human beings could possibly do. And I remember seeing a copy of that thing. It was like 40 pages long with diagrams and charts. I thought, who created this well in advance of the lockdowns to discourage human beings from getting together and doing one of the things that uplifts them, which is getting together and singing? I don't know if people are aware, but one of the methods that the Estonians used to free themselves from the Soviet bloc was to get together in huge groups and sing. In fact, at one point they held hands and went the entire length of the nation and sang as a way of opposing the Soviet occupation of their country. So every little detail of how to suppress and degrade humanity was carried out in these lockdowns. I haven't identified who it was behind each one of these things. But you know, the sad fact is, we were talking about science. There's a lot of scientists in this world who are paid to do nefarious things. We have at least 10,000 people, for instance, employed full time in bioweapons development in the U.S., in the Soviet, in Russia, in Israel, in France, in England. They go to work every day and they're developing biological weapons to kill people. 10,000 people get their living from that. And then you have the PSYOPs people, whether they're advertising people or public relations people, or they have military training, or they've been with the CIA or the NSA or the DIA, and they get a paycheck every week to do nothing but think about how to terrorize and fool and befuddle people. And those folks have been working full time at a federal, state, and local level to push
on our tax dollars.
Our tax dollars to terrorize. And I keep using this word because it is absolute psychological terrorism. There was a federal, state, and local terrorism campaign around this COVID thing. It was a PSYOP to frighten people out of their wits so that they would comply with anything, including becoming unpaid guinea pigs in a gene therapy experiment. And you know what? You weren't allowed to say that. You weren't allowed. This is a vaccine. It's not gene therapy. That's a conspiracy theorist. It's so easy to go back and look at all these companies 2 years, 3 years before COVID. They were all talking about the gene therapy they were developing. That's what this is all about. They want to play with our genes because I always say this: billionaires play golf. Millionaires play golf. Billionaires play God. Right. And these guys literally want to insert themselves into every aspect of creation. They're sure that human genetics is flawed and that they know how to repair it. And they've been working on this, on these gene therapies for years. And I want to say this because this is so important. They did a test of centenarians, you know, is that the right word? People that have lived 100 years or more. Mm-hmm. And they tested their genes. And they tested their genes. Some of them had really good genes. Some of them had terrible genes. And what they learned is that your genetic makeup, your inheritance, is a little bit like a loaded gun. Somebody's got to pull the trigger. Okay? So if you take good care of yourself, and you maybe have the less than greatest hand of genetics, you may live a healthy, long life. It's not, your genes are not a death sentence. They are a template. And how you live determines which genes get activated and you know, which negative path you might go down. But they want to ignore that. They want to sell us the junk food. They want to sell us and have us all on junk drugs. They want to have us all stressed out all the time. And then they want to, quote, cure us with gene therapy.
Doubt. Yeah. Well, and not only that, but now they want to take our DNA and they want to make bioweapons that will kill our DNA. Patrice in Ohio, you're on the phone with Ken McCarthy. What say you?
What do you think about the global lockdown having to do with the slowdown of velocity due to majorly the repo market that was coming to a head at the end of September of 2019?
Well, I think it was very interesting timing, and I say that this was a confluence of conspirators. The financial system, which was on the road to a train wreck before COVID, was bailed out basically by COVID. Now, by the way, that bailout is ending, so hold on to your hats for what's going to happen the next couple of years. But no, it's very, you raise a really interesting point. The timing is really interesting. And of course, we haven't mentioned, we'll probably get silenced for saying this, but they did a massive 5G rollout during the COVID lockdowns too. Even in the countryside where I live, I'm in a semi-rural area, and they were going wild installing 5G during the lockdowns. It was incredible. There were utility trucks everywhere. And in fact, I tried to hire a guy to do some electrical work for me, and he has a special certification to do some complex work. I had to remove a utility pole on a property I own, and he said, "I can't do anything for you, Ken. I'm booked up installing 5G from now all the way to the fall." He had 6 months of contracts. So yeah, there was a lot of good timing going on here, and we don't know exactly what their plan was, but clearly it was a heck of a coincidence.
Patrice in Ohio, thanks for your call. Sherry. Yeah,
thanks.
It is. You bet.
Thank you, Patrice.
Sherry,
you made a really interesting point.
Yeah, she does. Sherry in Kansas. Yeah, we do have the smartest listeners here on the show. Sherry in Kansas, how are you?
Hi. Ken, I've heard people talk about some Supreme Court ruling that happened in 2013 dealing with genetic manipulation, and if you create new DNA, you can patent that where you can't patent something naturally in nature. Do you happen to bring that into, have you heard anything about that or bring that into your?
I'm not up on all the details around that. However, I do know that, yeah, the laws do exist for people to patent life forms. Absolutely. And that's why they love genetic engineering, because you can't patent corn unless you alter its genetics, and now all of a sudden you own that that genetics. So, yeah, I mean,
people are likening it to saying that you no longer have rights if you've been genetically manipulated.
Some people are going
that far, so.
Well, you know, sometimes things that we think are crazy turn out to become true down the line. So who knows what these devils are up to? I mean, I remember, and I'm sure a lot of listeners know this story, you could have a farm field where a farmer's growing just regular corn. He's collecting some of his seed at the end of the year and, you know, starting using that as a starter for the next year. And then next to him, you have a GMO crop.
Monsanto.
What Monsanto was doing was, if the pollen from their field contaminated your field, you would be sued for stealing their genetics. And farmers were actually sued. So that's insane. So the idea of telling human beings, hey, remember that mRNA shot you took? Well, yeah. We own you now. I mean,
see, Ken, I've been saying that forever and a day, and that is a supposition, Sherry. We have been talking about on this show before, and I've asked multiple patent attorneys, would you please check on it, because it's patent infringement. I haven't heard one damn thing from any of them.
You know, it's okay. One of these things that seems
that's
crazy, but so many crazy things have happened. Yeah, thank you, Sherry. Great. You do have great listeners, man.
Yeah, we have very smart listeners on this show, Ken. They're so plugged in, it's unbelievable. We tried to leave no stone unturned when it comes to this stuff. Now, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to ask you about the fact that you are basically, you have a Ken's System seminar, widely regarded as one of the most practical internet marketing trainings in the world. And of course, you have the system, is what they call it, based on what's in the USPTO. So yep. I'm just kind of curious, as far as an overview, a solution you brought up at the beginning of the show about people having their own websites, that is really the way to go and not to rely on social media. They would like you to think that social media is the only way that you're going to be successful. I've always had a problem with it, and it's created a lot of conflict here. So what's your thoughts on that?
Let me tell you, as somebody that was present at the beginning and is actually credited with a lot of innovation that's used every day by millions of people to do business online, social media is a joke, a bad joke. If you know how to buy ads on social media, which is a very complex thing to do, and I do not recommend amateurs try, You can maybe make money from social media that way, but everybody who wants to do anything on the internet, you must have your own domain name, your own website, you must invite people to join your email list, and you must maintain your own email list and your own email newsletter. Blocking and tackling, those are the key elements. Everything else is hot air.
There you go. There's a solution for you, folks. Well, we are out of time for today's show, but Ken McCarthy, you've been a real inspiration. We appreciate you coming on and joining us. BrassCheckTV.com, KenMcCarthy.com. For those of you who want to follow up, you get his email address.
Hey, what a pleasure, Dave. Thanks for having me. I really had a good time.
Thank you, Ken. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.